Welcome to Podcast First Player, episode 271. I'm one of your hosts, Carl, and as always, I'm joined by a man who says, you know, life sucks when the best shag you've had was a carpet fabric. Danny Bloody Dan. I thought you were going to like chime back in with like a bit of a musical rebuttal.
No.
Just nothing.
Just nothing, Hayden.
I'm good, mate. How the diddly devil are you? Got the thumbs up to our audio listeners.
One thumbs up for everyone today. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
One thumbs up.
Thank you very much. Thank you indeed. I'm just going to come steamrolling at you, Dan. Big news, because Star Wars Acolyte had a big, juicy, completely out of the blue trailer.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting this at all.
No.
I just saw it this morning.
No, it was... Well, no, I saw it last night, but you were in a bad mood, so I didn't send it to you.
Good call. Very good call. I would not have appreciated it as much as I did watching it this morning. Yeah, absolutely on board for this, Callum. It looks real good.
The only thing I don't like is... It's not a negative. I phrase that very poorly. So we've said for a long time they need to do some Old Republic stuff because it's such a... Not necessarily from the games, just go way back in time. So you're not restricted with the current...
The Skywalker.
Exactly. And whilst this has done that, because it's the High Republic, it's still only like 100 years... It's not massively...
No, it's like 300 years, I think.
It's 100 because I've already researched it.
The High Republic, though, that's what's mentioned in Jedi Survivor.
Yeah.
That was like 300 years before, I think.
No. Like, so it's this. I mean, this is the synopsis. It's blah, blah, blah. Acolyte set at the end of the High Republic era... in a world of shadowy secrets and emerging dark side powers.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah, that could still be the case then. So it's just instead of it being at the peak of the High Republic, which is possibly what Survivor was, it's at the drop-off.
No, because Survivor's after Order 66.
No, I know. I mean, but with
the one-armed Jedi.
Yeah.
Trigon. It's definitely a D.
Jason.
But I think the first book in the High Republic is 300 years.
Mm.
So if this is obviously at the end of it, it's going to be closer to the original trilogy, so 100 years. But I still don't think it's enough. I think they should have gone further.
Maybe they're just testing the water for sort of like, what can we get away with without having to go, oh my God, here's Luke Skywalker again. Oh my God, it's the Mandalorian. If you just go... way back and go, this is an entirely new set of characters, like Rogue One it basically, and just say, like, the story is running parallel to what you already know, but the crossover is going to be minimal. Like, you'll get a bit of Vader, you'll get a bit of Tarkin, you get a bit of Leia, but that's pretty much it. Everything else is kind of running on its own steam.
Yeah.
So if they're doing the same thing, it's just like, you know, there's not going to be a Luke Skywalker, there's not going to be an Anakin, there's not going to be an Obi-Wan, there's not going to be anything, you know, you might see a Yoda, you might see a Chewie, maybe.
I don't think we'll see Chewie.
Well, Wookiees live for ages.
Yeah, but like this seems to be very much in the realm. Like there's a Jedi in the books. There's a Jedi Master Wookiee. So we'll get a Wookiee, but I don't think we'll get a Chewie. Yoda's could be because you know he's like 6 million years old. But
potentially he's been on the council for hundreds of years or whatever before everything fell apart.
Yeah. And there could be some other fan favourites, like droids and stuff that could be, we don't know how old they are. I mean, like I forgot his name, but the lightsaber droid shows up in Ahsoka, but we see him first in the Clone Wars.
Yeah. It's like Talos or something like that.
He could be around because obviously he's been with the Jedi for however many years and maybe centuries, who knows. So I think we'll see people like that. But all in all, as far as trailers go, I'm very excited. And
yeah, some fucking sick choreography that's going on in this.
It seems to have taken the Andor route as well for actual locations rather than using the volume.
Giant fucking screen. Again, maybe we use this a bit too much these days. Like we've just become a bit dependent on it.
Yeah.
Like we need to open ourselves up, challenge ourselves a little bit.
I assume that's what Mando's going to be made in, like the Mandoverse movie.
I mean, again, it's a good resource to have, but like use it for like your cockpit stuff, like starfighting, and you know, like when you go, it's a alien vista that's just all blue grass and green trees and yellow skies. Do that,
yeah.
Cool, yeah. It's going to be way easier than like trying to build a whole fucking town or whatever. Totally, yeah, makes sense. But if I'm a little bar fight,
I was going to say if you're in a cantina or something,
yeah, build it. Don't just pretend that everything is there, because in 10 years you'll notice that bar ain't there.
Yeah, I mean it looks even just like sitcoms look not great when they haven't put a lot of effort into the sets and stuff. I mean stuff like Friends. I think Friends sets still look pretty decent.
True, but they have 4 locations.
But that's what I mean. Like because they primarily for all 13 seasons, whatever it is, most of the shots are either in the girls' apartment, the boys' apartment, or Central Perk. Every now and again, it might go somewhere at like Ross's apartment or whatever. But for the most part, it's just there. So they've done a lot of care and details gone into making those sets. But then when you watch a show like, I'm going to say The Big Bang Theory because I generally can't remember what things look like in there, but it looks like a stage show.
2 and a Half Men is probably a good example of that. Everything in 2 and a Half Men just felt like it was a sitcom on a soundstage.
And that's what it's going to be in X amount of years' time. That's what it'll be for stuff like Mando and that, where now it looks amazing, and it does look genuinely very good, but as technology evolves and it's easier to spot things that are not super perfect, it's going to be noticeable, but I'll say they can deal with that later down the line. But in terms of casting, Dan, we get Carrie Ann Moss, and
what a great get.
I didn't realize until the second time I watched the trailer the Jedi Master guy is the dude from Squid Games.
Is it?
Yeah,
the guy who wins.
Yeah the lead guy.
I didn't clock that at all.
I was like, who's that? Because I watched the first time around. I was like, this looks dead good. And then when you sent it me again this morning, like I'd already watched it, I was like, fuck it, I'll watch it again. He looks dead familiar. And then, it's I can't remember his name, but it's, the...
I genuinely didn't look.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't see it and then go, I recognise that guy. I was going to say, it's nice to have, like, what looks to be like a cast of complete unknowns.
For the most part, yeah.
He's just like six or eight Jedi or whatever, but you don't know the characters and you're probably not going to know the people playing them either. We're just going to just do a whole new thing.
The girl who is the antagonist of the show. Although, would it be protagonist? Because if we're following it as her, she'd be the protagonist, wouldn't she?
Well, the antagonist is usually the... opposing,
that's what I mean,
character,
yeah,
of the main character.
So she'd be the protagonist and then the Jedi would be the antagonist.
True, but antagonist is usually with a negative connotation.
That's what I mean. So it's an odd thing. As the star.
That's the thing. It depends entirely on what they're doing. Like, is she the Acolyte or is she trying to stop the Acolyte?
I think she's the Acolyte, and I can't remember the woman's name who's directed it, but she's already said, like, in an interview, she set out to make a show about the Sith and the Sith being the underdogs, and so she'll definitely be it. But where the fuck was I going with that? She's one of the people from the Hunger Games, but she was a lot younger.
I
only know that because I was on IMDb
research.
But I couldn't tell you who. I know Jennifer Lawrence, and was one of the Pines in Hunger Games.
Again, I've just said I haven't watched it, so
I just thought,
who was in these films that I've not watched?
I thought you had watched them. I don't know why. Anyway,
remember 30 seconds ago when I said I've never watched them? That should have been a pretty big clue that I've never seen.
I'll be totally honest. I'm pretty sure in my head I heard... I'm not saying it's what you said, but I heard... I don't remember anyone in the Hunger Games. That's what I heard. But yeah, so not massively unknown, but not... not Hayden Christian or Ewan McGregor and Rosario Dawson and stuff. Not to say that they're not going to reach those heights after this if it's good enough. You never know.
I'd say if they've got any sense, they've got they're pulling a Rogue One in the sense of they go, right, we've got six main Jedi that, you know, these sort of like Padawan who have just, you know, there's been some another civil war kind of thing, or the Sith are kind of making a bit of a resurgence and kind of coming back. They've either been targeted, like, so they're like escapees from a temple that was obliterated or whatever. They go on the hunt. They go on the run.
Yeah.
The Acolyte has got to like earn her stripes, I guess. And, you know, like the Sith is usually sort of like, go and kill a Jedi. That's usually the thing you win. Again.
She gets a snake badge on her jacket.
Yeah, I reckon that other than Carrie Ann Moss, most of those others, they're probably going to die. They're expendable.
I would assume the majority will, purely because of leading into so many years later. But I'm still standing by, like, because in the, I don't know how much it's taken from the High Republic books, but it's, this is like the time of peace and like nothing bad's going on. All the Sith have been killed. Prior to, I mean, obviously in the books people do show up, but as far as we the people know, there hasn't been a Sith and then Palpatine shows up. Like, that's kind of the layoff of how it's laid out before the High Republic books came out.
Right.
But in the Clone Wars show, there's a handful of episodes where Ahsoka and the droid, I can't remember the name of, but they're going through the trials with like the new younglings, and they have to go and find Kyber crystals and everything else. But in that, it's explained that if, obviously they all do, but if you don't find a Kyber crystal and pass the test, you're out, because you're not meant to be a Jedi.
Yeah, because there's a relationship between the crystal and the Jedi that they're supposed to find each other or something.
Yeah, essentially that. And I mean, it goes through a bit in Fallen Order as well, when you have to go to the cave, as Cal. But I've got, I think she was, because I think it's the little girl in the, you know, the opening of the trailer, the like, tell me, like, don't trust your eyes.
She's like the one at the back or whatever.
Yeah, and she's like, I see fire. I think that's her.
Yeah.
And
they were like, fire?
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah. Not necessarily that, but she does get expelled because she doesn't find a Kyber crystal. And then she kind of goes on this path, and I can't remember the enemy, what the bad guys are called in the High Republic books, but they're not quite Sith, not like Baylan Skull, like nothing like that. But I think she's going to go on that kind of path, and maybe this is the resurgence of the Sith in that sense.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's a hunch more than anything. But
it would be cool if she ended up being Darth Plagueis. So she was the one who trained Palpatine.
But that was, like, Plagueis is way before this era.
I'm pretty sure that he was Palpatine's master.
He was, but Plagueis was the only, the only Force user to control life. So he could, he'd lived for fucking centuries before he found Palpatine. Okay. So I could be wrong on the timeline of it, but he basically could live forever, ironically, until Palpatine killed him. But
until the story decided that no, he can no longer live anymore. Yeah.
But that I think that would be a cool way of kind of bridging some of the more, because obviously Plagueis is still canon, but we've got nothing about him in the newer mediums. So it'd be a good way of bringing it in, especially with the Sith show. But then we might even get a
Sith show.
You know what I mean?
Like a sitcom.
Yeah, sitcom.
Da, 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 it's the Sith.
Oh, Palpatine.
That one Jedi neighbor that keeps on winding them up. Playing their jizz music too loud.
I think it'd be like, what's the guy's name? The neighbor on Home Improvement, but you can never see his face.
Al?
I think it was Al, yeah. I think he's just like that, but is you can just see his hood.
Mowing the grass with his lightsaber at 3 in the morning. God, shut up.
But we get, is that 8 episodes? We get 2 on June the 4th, Dan. Now, why they didn't go May the 4th, I don't know.
June the 4th be with you, yeah. As we all know.
Just seems like a very poor marketing thing on Disney's part, personally. And
well, I'm assuming that they went, well, it's not really going to be ready by May, and we're not going to wait a year for it. So,
well,
June is fine.
If I mean, I'm pretty sure it's finished.
Well, of course it will be, but a lot of these things, they can be edited and tweaked and whatever. Like, it's going straight to streaming. It's not as if they've got to distribute physical media.
Yeah.
Like, they could just upload it 20 minutes before the release.
I just want it.
To just tweak things. I think this is more in the Andor category of, like, it's not just sort of like, you know, oh my god, the beautiful, graceful, the force and whatever, and it's just like it's people scrapping in bars. And like Carrie Ann Moss, just sort of like hand to hand and force, sort of like, you know, sort of like scrapping and then like pow. Yeah. Like it feels a lot more real than just flancy lightsaber battles that are going to take 25 minutes to get through. And like the fact she's fighting with knives as well is really cool. Well, like I get the sense like that she hasn't earned a lightsaber.
That's
yet.
What
like
whoever's
training her.
That's what makes me think is that she never found a kyber crystal. She hasn't got a lightsaber. Maybe she has got force powers, but she hasn't got.
What do you mean, maybe? You see the fucking kick she did where she like flipped up in the air like
you
this?
Know what I mean.
Of course she does. Of course she does.
But again, we don't know how well trained she is.
New.
So she might only have like two moves and she just spams them. But
Mortal Kombat fight.
Unlikely because obviously the whole... what was the other thing I read? It's meant to be like a kind of like a murder mystery thing and it's... Do you know what the inspiration has been for this show? Have a guess. You get three guesses, Dan. It's another property.
What? In all the world? I have no idea.
Watchmen.
The show?
I didn't specify, but...
The show or the movie or the comic book? They're three very different things, mate.
No! That's what I'm saying. They didn't specify. So I'm guessing it would be more in line with the... Maybe the first film. I guess that makes more sense.
Between the three, that's not the one.
Because they're on about murder mystery, and obviously in the first film, it's more focused on the deaths of the Watchmen and who did it.
Or in the show, when there was a whodunit in the first fucking episode, and the rest of it is like untangling what's going on.
Yeah, but no one watched it. That's what I'm saying. I loved it.
Yeah, they absolutely did.
That's why it got cancelled.
No, it's because it got cancelled because the showrunner left and they said, we're not doing this without you.
I'm pretty sure it was before that. But anyway, that's irrelevant, Dan, because before we talk about anything else, this week's episode of the PvP podcast is brought to you by Nomadic and their R150 portable projector. The R150 is a premium looking and feeling projector, but weighs only 720 grams and it comes complete with a carry case. So you can safely put it in your bag and take it with you. Plus, the 4,800mAh battery will ensure you can use it on the go. It includes custom speakers made by industry veterans Harman Kardon, and it has its own built-in app store with media apps like Netflix and Disney+. You can also stream your iOS or Android device straight to it, letting you watch content up to 100 inches. All this, plus, if you use the PvP link between March 18th and 31st, you can get 50% off. Check out our full review at podcastversusplayer.com and don't forget to use the PvP link to get 50% off this fantastic portable projector. Anyway, Dan, you could pick two lots of other news that we're going to talk about. There is actually more, but these are two I want to talk about the most. So we've got X-Men 97 has started on Disney+.
Okay.
It's very good. I've watched the first episode. And James Bond's potentially been cast. X-Men it is. Right.
Two, please, because I did know that. And I did see that X-Men had shown up, but I haven't watched any of the old ones even close to recently. I'm not super fussed about that. I'll probably go to it when it's all out, maybe. If I'm
there's only two episodes at the moment. I'm fully caught up. I've made Logan sit and watch it with me. And then started the new season. But James Bond, we did speak about this briefly a handful of episodes ago.
I mean, we've talked about this for years.
Oh, no. So there was... Do you remember the actor who was called back to do the barrel shot?
Oh, wasn't it Aaron Taylor?
Wasn't Diddly Doodly. Supposedly, he's been offered the role. as of
and he's like,
yes,
no,
yes.
Sorry, yeah. I've got three more Kraven films to make.
Yeah, so the rumor had it yesterday that Aaron Taylor-Johnson has been offered the role of the James Bond to replace Daniel Craig. Mm-hmm. I think it's a pretty good shout.
I agree. I think he's well within his wheelhouse. I don't know if he's too handsome, though.
He's a very handsome young man.
He's a very handsome man. And to be a spy, like an effective spy, you can't be the most handsome man in the room.
But that was... that.
You got to blend in, man.
That was the problem with all of the Bond movies, though, because in the books, he's just an average-looking fella.
He has to be.
Yeah, because he's
you're a spy. But you can't be like, oh my God, who's that over there that everyone's eyes are immediately drawn to? That's the most shredded and clearly wearing a gun because of his tight little suit. Dude in the corner. Like, yeah, that's the one we're going to focus on.
But obviously in the films, they leaned into the every girl wants to be with Bond and every man wants to be Bond.
Yeah, everyone's handsome. Yeah.
And it's like, in the movie universe, I think he's an excellent choice. I think he's a good choice. He's a good actor. He's still relatively not unknown, but he's not.
I don't know, man. He's
dazzling heights.
He's done all the Kick-Ass movies. He's done Godzilla. He was in the first
Godzilla.
He was
the
that
son
was a
in
big
that
big thing. He was in Bullet Train. Like as basically a kind of like James Bondy kind of
Cockney.
Ish, like, you know, he's wearing a nice suit and he's talking and
he's got a mustache,
you know, so yeah. Well, he's got nice hair.
He's got very good hair. Age of Ultron,
like, if to me, oh yeah, of course he is. Yeah,
Quicksilver.
I just don't think that he would have accepted it or be looking to accept it if he's done Kraven and gone, there's probably a franchise in this. Because you'd go, well, I can't do Bond. They need five Bonds out of me. So that's the next 10 years, 15 years maybe, that I have to dedicate to Bond. So he's not going to be doing Kraven.
Of course he ain't.
Like, I mean, Daniel Craig did sort of like the odd bits and pieces in between, you know, Bond films. But what?
What though?
He did like... Well, he did the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. He did the
sequel. Oh yeah, I forgot he was in that. Yeah.
He was in Force Awakens, obviously. I'm sure that took up more than his fair share of time. I couldn't tell you what he did. I'm going to have a look at his
IMDb. Was Knives Out during Bond or after
way
Bond?
Way after.
Yeah, I thought it was.
Way after, yeah. Daniel Craig.
I honestly can't think of anything else during the Bond era.
Well, this is the thing. I don't think he would have been doing like anything insanely big. I think he'd be doing it like in between.
Yeah, like more lower key stuff.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. So he was... Casino Royale, obviously. Something called The Invasion, which I've never heard of. Golden Compass, that would have been VO or... wait, was that?
No. He's in the Golden Compass.
Right, okay. Wasn't that the thing with the polar bear or something?
Yeah, it's the... oh my God, what's the book? They did a show about it on... It was on...
His Dark Materials.
Yeah, that thing. Yeah. Not that, though, obviously. The film.
Flashbacks of a Fool. Never heard of that. It looks like a little indie thing as well. How to Lose Friends and Alienate People is in that uncredited. Quantum of Solace video games, that's VO. Defiance, that was a big one. GoldenEye
Reloaded
video game. Yeah, he was Bond in that.
Shocker.
Bloodstone, he did the voice with that. There was a short, Cowboys and Aliens. So him.
Oh shit, yeah. Yeah, I forgot all about that film.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder if that's getting a sequel.
Dreamhouse, don't know about that.
Never heard of it.
Adventures of Tintin, that would have been a voiceover. Girl with a Dragon Tattoo.
Yeah, he's the captain.
Skyfall. James Bond, the World of Espionage video game. Callum, where's there a James Bond video game I've never heard of?
That's not a thing, is it? Is it a mobile game?
2015. Oh, good point. Oh, I don't know what this is, but it's a James Bond wiki. It says, blah, 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 blah. November the 6th, 2015. James Bond, World of Espionage. Offers awful automated spy action. I'm already bored.
This looks like a mobile game with like playing cards and whatnot.
Spectre, garbage. Force Awakens, Comrade Detective. He was a voice in a TV series for some. Logan Lucky, I forgot about that. King's Knives Out, No Time to Die, and then Glass Onion. But I'm pretty sure that the difference in time between like Spectre was in 2015 and No Time to Die was in 2021.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure though that's because once again MGM was like falling apart and they didn't have the license to things.
Yeah,
and
they getting ready to sell
it. Bond curse. Yeah. I just don't think that you could go, oh, I'll do a bunch of Sony Venom-verse movies and be Bond at the same time. Like, it feels like you need to kind of like dedicate a lot of time to doing those.
I don't think we have to worry about there being a sequel or two to Craven.
But that would be my thinking, is that if he's gone, do you know what, I've seen the reactions that people have had to like Venom and Morbius and Madame Web, and I don't want to be a part of that. No. I've been paid, so I've already done my part now. But I'm not doing another one.
Yeah. Which,
if they offer me Bond, I'll do that because that will set me up for life.
Yeah. Well, again,
this won't.
Even if they're not as well received as the Craig ones or the Brosnan ones or anything else, they're going to make fucking shitloads of money.
However, this is the problem that you've got when you're rebooting a Bond and you're doing a new Bond. Like, this is not just a new Bond. This is an entirely new Bond.
New universe.
So you can't even say that theoretically, you know, it's the same Bond, just it's a recast Bond. That one definitively got blown up. He's definitely dead. Spoilers. Which means that you're doing it from scratch.
Yeah.
So it's good in a way because you've got a completely open playing field. You can do whatever you want. You can set it in the 60s, in the 2020s, whatever. Yeah. I forgot what was going with that.
You lost your train of thought.
Yeah, completely.
It's a risky move because whatever you go with, you're stuck with. So if they...
That was my point. I just remember what I was going to say now. Like, the first film that you're doing whenever you reboot Bond, or like whenever you've got
anything,
a new Bond that you cast in, the first one is always the one that's going to be, like, how is this one going to play? How is this one going to be any different from the last one? And, like, to go from like GoldenEye, sort of like going up from like the Daltons to come sort of like screaming back to earth with like Dying of the Day, to then get Casino Royale, and you're like, oh my god, what the fuck? And then it's kind of just, it's been a little bit wavy, but you know, I think it's ended on a reasonably kind of good high. You know, it's a good run. Yeah. I wouldn't want to come after that. I wouldn't want to go, oh, we need to do a brand new Bond reboot movie. It's a brand new Bond. We could reset the universe. We can do whatever we want. And it needs to be better than Casino Royale in order to justify like another four of these or whatever for this guy. Absolutely, I wouldn't want to do that.
I would do it.
I mean,
but I'm not saying
I'm terrified just going and watching it and just assuming it's not going to be very good.
The problem, like, I think the best way of looking at it is, so Casino Royale, it's my favorite Bond film of all the Bond films. I love it. It's a great film. But I'm still fairly certain the reason we have it is because of Bourne Identity, Mission Impossible, because that's the way the movie industry was heading.
Of course.
Where are we heading at the moment with spies stuff? Because that's probably a good indication of what this could be like.
Well, I think that's kind of what they were doing in No Time to Die, though, wasn't it? It was just like, you know, spies are a thing of the past. You don't need field agents running around and doing, you know, shooting people to death. You know, we've got drones and laptops and the internet. You can do far more damage with that. Like, look at what Mr. Silver did in bloody Skyfall. Like, all Q did is he plugged a laptop into the internet and broke London, basically, and nearly got M killed. Like, that's what it's doing. And that was the point of, like, the MI5, MI6 crossover, whatever. You know, it was to remove, like, get rid of the 00 program altogether. It's outdated, it's outmoded. And they're probably right in that sense that you don't really need hands in the field.
Yeah.
So if you went back and you did it in the 60s, there is no internet.
Exactly.
There are no security cameras. You do have to send someone to go strangle someone with a piece of rope on a beach somewhere with a gorgeous woman. Like, that would... It would give you a really good starting point to be like, well, not everything's smartphones and not everything's internet and, you know, satellites and lasers and whatever. It's just dead easy, dead basic stuff. It is the stuff that Austin Powers has basically taken the piss out of for like 10 years.
But all of these spy films, like Spy Hard, Austin Powers. I assume there's some kind of scary movie style spy movie, like James Bond, Mission Impossible style.
Well, that is Spy Hard, isn't it?
No, Spy Hard's Leslie Nielsen.
No, but that I'm sure that was... it's that same sort of...
Oh, no. But that's what I mean, like... Johnny English, yeah. But that's what I mean, like more of a recent-ish one rather than the 80s-led Leslie Nielsen ones. But it's as daft and silly as it is, it's true, because that's what the James Bond stuff was. But I think if you... I don't mean go to, like, a Roger Moore-style movie, but if you do take it back to the 60s or 70s, but in a Casino Royale way... So it's still not silly and slapstick and everything else. It's still serious, but he hasn't got all the gadgets and everything else like you just said. I think that would be way better than just carrying it on in the present.
I think so, yeah, because I think that even if the film isn't as like quite as amazing, I love Casino Royale.
Yeah, it's a great film.
I absolutely adore it. And I got so much right with just, a third of the film being around a poker table.
Yeah.
And they still managed to get it really good, and it's dangerous and it's simple. Like, it's, you know, there's like everything that happens in it is basically, it's fairly kind of by the numbers.
Yeah.
You know, there's a poker game, he has to win the poker game, he loses the poker game. You know, the Chief's backer kind of comes in, tries to kill him with a machete, they have a fight in the stairs. They're just going down the stairs, it's not lasers, there's no mines going off or whatever, it's just, you know, they're just having a scrap. He ends up strangling him to death, awfully, like, just sort of like, fucking die!
Feet kicking out.
Gets poisoned, has to
defib himself.
Electroshocks in the car, you know, wins a poker game, gets tortured, but in a chair with a rope. Not like, do you know what I mean? Like, everything, they just went, okay, well, you know, Bond, we've got the cars. Okay, well, what's an easy thing for the car? It's got like a fingerprint scanner thing that gets you in the door. That's as advanced as it can be, because that's simple stuff, but it's something a car can't really do. These days, probably can, but, you know, there's like a gun in the thing, and like, you know, there's a section for things, but it's not got missiles in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, this Bond gets tortured all the time, but, you know, we don't need lasers and weird drills into the skull and whatever the fuck all that was going
later
on.
Right?
Spectre. But that's what I mean. Like, they kind of stepped it up, but in the weirdest way. They just went, no, just strip him and just smack him in the bollocks as hard as you can. Like, that will break most people. Like, I don't care.
That's what differentiates them, though, because, like, in obviously the other Bonds, like, I suppose the closest torture thing is the laser when he's tied to the table and he's got the laser.
There's a bunch of ways,
I mean,
he's electrocuted,
it's
and he's
nothing.
Beaten, and he's he has his neck cracked with that fucking thing in Tomorrow Never Dies.
The
World Is Not Enough.
Yeah.
With Robert Carlyle.
But it's
stuff like that happens all the time. So, like, if you just went back to the 60s again, you don't have a little drill that can erase someone's memories or people's faces from you.
Break his fingers.
Shut up. Just rip his face off or whatever. You know.
So I think it'd be more interesting, and I think there's no reason they won't go back and build it up again. Because plus, then in X amount of years' time, they'll go, let's do it in the 2020s. Oh, James Bond's got to fight coronavirus, but I don't think it would be interesting to just basically do a continuation. Not saying it follows the same universe rules, but.
I'd say that's why that's why they kind of made No Time to Die such a definitive. He's definitely dead now.
Yeah.
This can't be, like, you could make an argument reasonably that most of the other bot, like the Moors and the Connerys and whatever, they, you know, they kind of tied into each other. There's reoccurring villains and reoccurring themes, and, like, you know, he's got the DB5 and Spectre. Obviously, at no point during the Daniel Craig films did we ever see him get that car, apart from in Casino Royale. But that was just a normal car. It wasn't covered in guns. Did he just take that to Q and just be like, hey, can you kick this car out for me with guns and shit?
Well, the only... but it was always the tale of... Not tale of, but the conversation of, is James Bond just a title? And each Bond is different. And
Agent Smith, like in the CIA.
Exactly.
It's just, you're just another person who takes on the thing. But
then in Skyfall, we learned he is James Bond. It's his family.
Yeah, it's
family name and everything else. And then in, I think it's one of the Roger Moore films, but when the person that dies, who George Lazenby marries, Roger Moore visits the grave.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, is it the same person then? But then because of the ending of No Time to Die, that's all out the window now.
That's exactly like, my point. Like, you can say 100% that from this point onwards, that is not going to be the same one. Like, if they time-wise, like timeline-wise, if they continue it, because you could still have the woman who played 007 in No Time to Die. She could be the new, not new Bond.
I want the American one.
She wasn't American. She was...
But she worked for the American agency, didn't she?
She was like... No, she was like Colombian, I think. Like, she worked for like Colombian intelligence or...
The one with the black hair. Colombian. The cool one at the beginning.
With the black hair?
Yeah.
I was talking about Ana de Armas with the... Like, she's in the dress and like she...
That's what I'm on about.
But she... I don't think she was an American though. She was just working for like secret intelligence for that country or for her country.
Her though. That's who I want.
I think so. But again, she was a sort of bumbling idiot newbie. Like, she was just sort of like I want to say, I reckon even if you went back and said, how about we just do Moneypenny? Like, when she's like driving around in the field shooting Bond off a train, Moneypenny, not secretary work.
I'd be interested in that as well, to be honest.
Just, my point. Like, that would be cool.
No. I mean, just doing a 9-to-5. Like,
I don't want to see her doing M's scheduling.
Doing M's taxes and. it's not 100% definite, but according to the bookies and everything else, it's pretty much done.
Well, if that's the case, Callum,
how
long is it going to be before we see anything close to a new film then? It's going to be like 3 or 4 years, maybe?
As probably as close as we see a trailer for the upcoming game.
Well, unless they've already gone, we've written the next Bond film. The only thing we need to do now is shoot it. So now casting is coming to play. Or if they go, we'll get the casting sorted first because that's all people are interested in. And then we've got years to write it and start filming it and do whatever. So I'm going to say 2027. Maybe
probably not a bad shot. I reckon we might see a trailer or something in 2026 and then maybe the film follows the following year. But I can't imagine you will know, but can you vaguely recall what the length of time was between Craig being announced and seeing anything to do with Casino?
That's a good point, actually. I'd say it was probably a couple of years because there was a whole like public
people kicking
thing.
The fuck
it was
off.
Like a national thing. Well, yeah, they were because he was like, oh my god, James Bond, ugh, you idiots.
Do you remember the story with where he was coming up the Thames on the boat and people kicking off because he had a vest
he had a life jacket on
it.
Unreal morons. It's just like, no, let him drown.
Yeah. James Bond wouldn't wear one.
Which is fucking stupid. But does that mean then, because that was 20 years ago,
it's good fun.
Does that mean that they're going to have to do another one? Are they going to put him on TikTok or something or parade him around? Like, they got Daniel Craig to be with the Queen at the Olympic opening.
Yeah.
That's how serious this role is for the country, basically.
Yeah. It's a big deal.
Like, what do you do for a new one now?
As much as it pains me to say it, Dan, you've already hit the nail on the head with it. TikTok, social media, whatever, yeah. I suppose it'd be easy for someone like Aaron Taylor Johnson because he's probably already on it, so it's not going to be that big of a inconvenience for him. But what can you do? We can't do the Queen thing anymore because obviously she passed away. Do you think they'll change that in any? So if it is in present day, do you think it will still be? Do you think it'll be changed to like the King rather than the Queen?
King and country.
Yeah.
Probably, but you'd have to redo literally everything. Yeah. You'd have to have a brand new M. I mean, you could get Ralph Fiennes, and I'd be totally cool with Ralph Fiennes because obviously when they finished with Dalton and they got Judy Dench as M, then M crossed over to be M for Pierce Brosnan and M for Daniel Craig as well. You could get Ralph Fiennes to do M for whoever the new Bond is going to be. I don't think anyone would have a problem with that. He did a good M. You know, we saw him shoot a gun and get shot. Yeah. It was cool.
I like Judy Dench and I like Fiennes, and people like that. You get Q back or you get John Cleese back or like whoever. They're the kind of characters that can carry over. Obviously, you don't want to do something where Daniel Craig is the new M. That's just going to be too weird.
You couldn't have a young nerdy Q either.
Yeah.
Like if you're doing it in the '60s, his age is not going to be of any benefit to him. It needs to be someone who's in their 50s, just going, I've been doing this for 40 years.
Basically, like a mad scientist.
Kind of.
Who would you have in that role?
Pedro Pascal.
No, he's in everything.
He's doing literally everything at the moment, so why not? Put him in a lab coat, bang his cue.
He might even be all right, but it's just one of the... I don't know who I'd... Because I'd want someone like Leslie Nielsen, but...
You need like an Andy Serkis or someone, like, or a Jeremy Irons, like someone who's...
Oh, Jeremy Irons would be good.
Yeah, like just someone who's got gravitas, but, you know, they still need to sell themselves. Yeah. It's like, I am a mad scientist. Yeah, I'm making a belt that can shoot a cable and a watch that's got a laser in it and a sonic gun that's in your clicky pen or whatever.
Oh, there's a lot of good ones to it. But, though... I've got something else I want to talk about. Because we won't talk about X-Men. It's worth watching. Catch up with the older ones. And then jump into the new ones. Because they're really good. And the animation's very good as well. Really enjoying
it. I saw nothing in the trailers that made me think, oh, God, this looks damn good.
It's, you can tell it's the same runners who did What If. But it's way better animation.
Well, I should fucking watch that. People have been waiting 30 years for this.
Yeah. Honestly, it's perfect. It's real fucking good. Anyway, you sent me something before we started this podcast, Dan. Well, you sent me two things.
I did.
One I want to talk about more than the other, which is...
Can I guess which?
You can.
I'm going to say you want to talk more about... Aliens.
No.
No, simply for the fact... that why is this being made?
I mean, there is that as well. Like, that was my first thought when you sent it, which is really weird because about a month ago, I think I just turned the TV on and put YouTube on. And on, you know, when you'll see a trailer, it's like, oh, Spider-Man 4 official trailer. And it's not. It's someone's fucking made it. Someone had done the official Aliens Romulus thing, which was a TV show. And I was like, oh, what the fuck? But it was just clips from other things, like, you motherfuckers, you got me. And then when you sent me this and it just popped up on the phone and I could see the title, I was like, no, Dan's fell for it. And then I opened it and I went, wait, what the fuck? But
I wasn't sure. I thought it was a game to start with.
I'd have been...
Like, when it kind of, like, when it comes through the like, pans backwards out the door and then it, like, goes over the, like, the beds and it's all blowing the beds. And I was like, is this a sequel to Isolation? I can't really tell as to whether this is a game or a film. And then I saw a person. I was like,
"Yeah,
that's no games look this good." Not yet.
Ridley Scott still though. I mean, I haven't got massive hopes considering he also did that one. But
he was in Covenant. Yeah. He was part of Covenant as well, I think.
Yeah. But I will say, just from this trailer, the best positive I can give it is it seems like Isolation, the game.
I'm getting real Ridley movie vibes from it. Like, it looks, it's like, it looks gory, scary, like, it's not just sort of like, we've got a new team that you need to start caring about, and then we'll kill them all off. It's like, no, there's one person that you want to give a shit about, and then that's going to be your new Ripley. We even put her in a tank top and gave her a machine gun. Yeah. Like, what more do you want? It's either Ripley, it's Ripley's daughter, or it's just the new Ripley.
It's a daughter,
really.
Because
they did the same thing in Covenant as well, like where it was one of the colonists, like the leader of it or whatever it was. They had her in like a tank top with a pulse rifle, and it's
the female thing, isn't it?
It is, but don't do it because it's already been done and it's been done perfectly. build on it, don't just try and emulate it. And I got this as soon as I saw that, I was like, again, yeah. Bloody hell.
Maybe it's just really hot on there.
I'm sure it is. It's like spaceships and energy cubes and radiation everywhere or whatever. I'm sure it's fucking exhausting carrying those big old rifles around all day long. But there's also like face huggers that are just sort of like zipping through the space station and just slapping onto people. I'm just like, this looks terrifying.
This isn't right.
Just being like stalked by one big beast or whatever, and it's not doing the Alien Covenant thing where it's like, or Prometheus,
yeah,
you know, it's like,
yeah,
charting the evolution of the xenomorph. It's like, no, they're there. Like, there's no Michael Fassbender in this anymore. They're just there, and they're going to kill everybody, right?
That's what people want.
Exactly, which is why I've got somewhat high hopes for this.
I will say, though, the trailer for Covenant was good.
Yeah, but again, it was just sort of like, here's just a bunch of newbies that they exist purely in the film just to kill them off, which means that you're not going to be interested in him, you're not going to remember him, and you don't know. If you've got like a bunch of named actors, and then you put all of them in an Alien movie, and you're like, are these all going to die? Like, you know, do you kill off this person, but not this person? Mm. Like, you would, like, if you go, I recognise that one's not going to die then. Everybody else will.
Yeah. Look, as trailers go, I liked it, but I don't have high hopes. I really want to be proven wrong.
Yeah.
I really, really do. But
true, but we've also been wanting to be proved wrong for about 15 years now. It's still not happened yet.
What I am looking forward to, though, Dan, is Marvel 943, Rise of Hydra, which is the upcoming Captain America and Black Panther game, which was announced like 3 years ago, I think. And
It was at an E3.
We saw a poster, and that's it. Now we got a big fat trailer, any cinematic trailer, mind you.
1947.
It's 43.
I'm looking at that wrong. Sorry.
I really like the design of the Black Panther costume.
I love it.
Looks really good.
Like, it's kind of like the MCU-ish with the helmet or whatever, but with it being set in the 40s as well, it means that there's not everything is going to be like a techno nanobot.
Yeah.
Like, things will have to click on and just be clipped into place and stuff like that. But like, he's like parkouring over like rooftops in Paris, and like the suit looks great. He's got the little cape as well. Miss the cape. Yeah. Love the cape on Black Panther. They have not gone in the slightest for a Chris Evans look for Captain America. Good.
Big old beefy good. Captain America.
Absolutely. Apple pie and cheese, you know, drinking a hot cup of coffee on a desert side road or whatever.
Sure.
Like, lumberjacking American.
Yeah.
You know, big, you know, gorgeous, burly, big chinned American.
Gone for Reacher.
Not that big, I don't think anyone's that big. But I am annoyed, though, that I was just like, I kind of get a sense of what this could be. Like, you know, when I see him sort of like scuttling along the tree branches and stuff. So I was like, okay, so there's like a stealth component, which you maybe use your Black Panther, and then it's like a more fighting one, like open action fight.
Yeah.
It's like Captain America. But no actual gameplay. So these are all probably just cutscenes from it. So it probably does look that good.
Possibly, yeah. Like, it looks like it could be like in-game engine.
Yeah, but it could also just be it's like way more top down, and you're sort of like scooting around things, and you're not. I don't know. I've been burned too many times with this sort of stuff. Like, it could be good, and like the fact that they say it in the 40s as well. I love that.
Do you think Cap will use guns?
That's a really good point. I was going to ask that actually, because he's obviously zipping his shield around. He's punching some people real hard. But does this mean that he's
about the Howling Commandos
soldier,
and stuff?
Captain America. Does this mean you're going to give him a gun? He's going to shoot Nazis.
I reckon so.
Captain America.
I reckon so.
But then, what would bring Captain America and Black Panther to Paris together at the same time? A Hydra thing.
It's got to be Hydra related, isn't it? Because
it's
the rise of Hydra. So,
well, one of them said, you know, there's three superpowered people or super soldiers in Paris. And obviously that being the both of them, so there's another one. So if that's like a Red Skull.
Red Skull seems the obvious thing. Plus, in history, like, I know, obviously, Wolverine's fought alongside Captain America and stuff back in the day, but it's got to be Red Skull. It has to be. Because he's got the strength and stuff as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But I don't know what interaction Black Panther and Red Skull have.
But that would be my point, is that, you know, I understand why Cap is there, but why would Black Panther be there? The only thing I can think of is that they've nicked Vibranium.
I was just about to say that, yeah.
And they go, well, we're not having that, so we need to go back and get it.
Maybe he's making weapons or something with it, and
maybe. But then you go, well, is that not just the first Avenger?
Just Claw,
the Tesseract, like,
yeah,
building Hydra weapons. Like, we've kind of already seen that. I'm far more interested to see the gameplay for this rather than the story. I think the story is going to be compelling and it's going to be interesting regardless. I just want to see what kind of game we're looking at here. That's the only thing I'm really keen on.
What multiplayer elements you think are going to be? Because I've heard it was a co-op game.
Well, from what they've showed there, there's only one interaction that they actually have together.
I think this is near the beginning, because it looks like they're about to square off to each other and like, who are you? Mm. And if they've been told that there's other super-powered people there, and then they've both shown up, and they see each other for the first time, and they think...
I think it's more a case of, you know, Hydra's building weapons, right? Okay, well, Cap's like, okay, I'm going to have to sort that out. And Black Panther is like, well, Hydra's building weapons, but they're using our ship, so I need to go and get that back. And they're like, okay, I will go and sort this out. You stay out of the way, and we'll touch base afterwards, whatever. And then they're both there, and they're like, no, you can fuck up. I'm here to sort this out. This is my thing. And then they have a bit of a scrap, and then they have to team up and go, actually, do you know what? It's actually way easier to team
work
up
together
and have, like, a master of stealth and a master of fighting, and give him a gun. Just give him a gun.
Who, Black Panther Cap?
Nah, both of them. Fuck it. Vibranium bullets? Are you kidding me? Wolverine getting rinsed apart with a Gatling gun full of vibranium rounds. Oh my god.
That's not going to do nothing. Adamantium's stronger than vibranium.
Adamantium's made from vibranium.
It's not. Vibranium's something that they made up because they couldn't use adamantium.
I don't think that's the case.
Yeah?
No, I'm pretty sure it's always been there. Like, I'm pretty sure his skeleton, or adamantium, was made from vibranium and something else.
No, adamantium's its own thing. And if that's been changed, that's been retconned, like, later on.
Take a little look, because I'm not sure now.
I just want a... Yeah, so it was later changed to an alloy made by mixing melted vibranium and steel together to set in its permanent mold. And this could be destroyed by subjecting it to extremely high temperatures.
Yeah.
But that's what it was changed to. There were two very different things back in the day.
Yeah, vibranium appeared first in 1966.
Yeah. Because the original... Like, vibranium was originally, it had a weakness of, like, sonic, like, ultrasonic waves. But I don't think that's been used for, like, fucking years and years and years.
Well, they did the Claw thing with it. That's why Claw has a big sonic arm.
No, but I mean it would, like, strip. So if you had a block
on it. That's how they mined it in Wakanda. It was like using sonic tools.
Yeah, it breaks apart, but this would just, like, it would strip it apart into tiny pieces or strands or however it was worded. But then, like, adamantium was, like, it could cut through Cap's shield, but then as it's gone on, it just scratches the shield, and they can each block each one. But anyway... But it still wouldn't kill him. It'd just be loads of holes to heal up.
Yeah. But I mean, it would damage, if it got rid of the metal, It would just be the bone underneath. I think it would mess him up.
No, because then he'd heal more.
So you'd be doing him a favour, if anything.
The adamantium slows his healing. Because he's constantly... Because he's got adamantium poisoning, always. And he's constantly healing that. Like, where Magneto rips the adamantium from him, from his body, in a torture thing.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That's... I mean, it's stated there, like... Oh, I heal way faster now. It's not those exact words, but this is what it is. The same with... It's either Deadpool... No, I think it's Punisher kills the Marvel Universe when he's got... I can't remember if it's Wolverine and Dakin and Laura, or just two of them three. I can't remember. Where he's just
Laura wasn't
constantly it. Dunking them in the that thing, and then they...
No, Wolverine he electrocutes and Dakin he burns. Like it's just got me like a room of it's like a big oven sort of thing. So it's just constantly on fire.
Yeah, and then like obviously he'll die, pass out, whatever, come back to life.
Yeah, but Wolverine he just like threw into it like a transformer and just electrocuted into it.
Which wouldn't kill him.
Well, if you, I don't know, like because if you shut all the cells down.
Well, like bearing in mind, in I can't remember the actual, I can find it after, because it's well worth reading, but the Hulk rips him in half and throws his legs on top of a mountain, and then it takes him a few days to like drag his torso to there, gets him, and then he passes out, and when he wakes up, he's at S.H.I.E.L.D., and Fury's basically, not personally, but he's took him apart to see how his cells work without his body, so he's got like his lungs are in a jar in one room. He's fucking, but he's basically, he's just still healing and keeping it going.
Yeah.
But I think the only way to actually kill him would be to suffocate him. So if you put him in space, he'd die. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or as with the movie, just old age.
Old age will do it. Yeah. I mean, like, a poison would probably still do it, though.
No, he's immune to...
Oh, yeah, no, because he would heal from that, I suppose. Yeah.
Like, he can't get inebriated, which always makes me sad, because it's a thing they always point out and go, he can't get inebriated or, like, he's immune to, like, drug toxins and stuff. And then you'll read a comic or watch something and he's fucking drunk. It's like, was he just putting it on or what? It's very much, as with most comics, dependent on the writer. There's a comic where Wolverine heals from one single drop of blood.
Yeah, that's
he like puts him like regens himself.
That's bullshit, because that means that every time he was cut and blood dropped, he would just be growing Wolverines out of the ground. It's,
granted, he did have celestial powers at the point of this, but
well, you didn't mention that, did you?
Well, no, because they didn't know that at the time. It was only after it happened, after the fact. And then I assume it's because people went, wait a minute, and went, no, he's got different powers now. But it's completely dependent on who's writing it. And I do like this, mainly for the fact of what you've already said, with it being set back in the old days. It can be wartimey stuff. We've got no technological thing, so it's not a case of just you fly this fucking drone and then lock on the enemy. I imagine you could tag
radar vision.
Yeah. And if it is co-op, like I can tag enemies for you to so you know where they are. But
so if you say that Black Panther's got like he's got the technology. So, like, you go, he's got, like, a really weird proto-radar or something like that. Mm. He could sort of, you know, wireframe almost, like, see-through walls. You could see heat signatures through walls or whatever, because, like, the advanced technology that they've got.
Yeah.
And Cap has to deal with them.
Maybe, yeah. That's the thing you'd have to apply, because even in the first Avengers, some of the technology that Hydra used is way more advanced than it actually was in 1943.
Yeah, I mean, they've got like energy collection. Yeah.
Well, even just like the computers and stuff they've got.
They didn't have computers, did they?
Yeah, because fucking, what's his face? That's, I forget, what's his name? Red Skull's right-hand man. Glasses, bald.
Oh, Zola.
Zola. Like, he's building all that back, like, then to obviously put himself into the computer for when he finds it in Civil War.
He was taken to the US. Like, he built the computers before he died.
No, but like he mentions he was already working on it. He didn't have them, so he didn't have it all set up, but he had the idea back in like 940, whatever. It's just he couldn't do it because the technology didn't exist, but it was a means of living forever.
No, I think he did it after it was after the Nazi stuff. It was like during the paperclip where they like nicked a bunch of Nazi scientists and shipped them over to America.
I don't know the actual timing of it, but
because he was saved onto like the old like 60s and 70s like huge reels of tape.
Yeah,
like memory yeah. thing. Like
just kept kicking in and all around.
It didn't exist in the 40s though.
I might have got the actual years wrong, but just everything that they were doing, like even just some of the rooms they were in when it's with Red Skull, like you couldn't build those kind of vast rooms.
Oh god, that's what I mean. Yeah, like there's things to like drain energy from a cosmic thing and put it into a gun. No, they couldn't do that. And even with like the most advanced research tech in the world, made the V2 rocket and the nuclear bomb. Like that was the height of absolute like, but channeling the like explosive power or the radiation from a nuclear device into another thing. No, I don't think they could do that.
I don't think we can do that now.
$1 billion.
But
no.
So potentially, like, you might have something more like imagine how you play this Black Panther and you do have like this Black Panther vision, but it's just like a virtual boy.
If it was Virtual Boy, it's just black and red. I'd love that. That'd be amazing.
Maybe change it like black and gold or something just to differentiate it. But
yeah.
Then when you look at Captain America, he's just Donkey Kong.
But you could give him like his battlefield senses, so he can like kind of, he knows where there's people around corners and stuff like that. But I really want to see what the actual gameplay of this is going to be before I get super excited about.
This was from an Unreal event that I didn't even know was happening, where they're talking about like new features for the Unreal Engine and what they're going to be doing. So they're adding like first person modes being added to Fortnite. The actual Fortnite game is being all done in whatever the new Unreal Engine editor is called. So that's having a big revamp. Fall Guys is in Fortnite. Something else I can't remember. But these were like the two big announcements, was all the Fortnite stuff and then this, because obviously this is being made with the same engine. But I didn't know anything about it until you sent me the video. And then I literally watched this and then I had a Google thing. It's like, catch up on Unreal. It's like, where were you yesterday? I think it looks really good. But I want to see some gameplay of it. What do you think it's going to be like? Oh, also, one of the leads on Uncharted 2 is doing it.
So that I'd like to think, because like if you looked at like just the, like the original trailers or something for Midnight Suns, you know, there's a lot of there'd be a lot of people talking to each other. It'd be like, oh, it's an RPG, and then when you play it and you go, oh, it's like cards. It's like you're just putting cards onto a board. It's like Hearthstone or whatever. And then there's like an RPG element behind it. But you know, you're building a deck. It's like Pokemon almost.
yeah.
To some degree. You know, I wouldn't have been super excited about that if it was like, oh, it's like the Avengers game. So there's like characters and you can sort of zip around and beat people up or whatever, but there's a huge multitude of different options and characters that you can play as. I'd have been way more excited for that than I am for Midnight Suns in its current form.
Yeah.
I've got it and I enjoy it and I want to play it and I still want to play it now. And I've actually been able to, because I was having some, there's been a bunch of like forums and stuff like that about like drop-in and loading and crashing issues with Midnight Suns, even a couple of years after it's come out. And I got it for Steam and there's no reason that my PC can't deal with this game at all.
Not on your IBM Pentium.
This MacBook Pro 2. And I reached out to, I think it was CD Keys initially. I think that's where I got it from. CD Keys, always there for me. And said, this isn't, it kind of, it's crashing. I don't understand why it's crashing. can I just get a refund on it instead? And they came back and went, no, no, because that's not what we do. When you buy a thing and then you use the thing, it's used. Yeah. No refunds. And I was like, sure, it's in your terms and conditions. I didn't know that, so thank you for letting me know. So they said, you know, the only thing you can do is you can go to the developer, which is 2K. They've made some good games in the past. They made Bioshocks and, they published Bioshock and 2K, and they've made Mafia. Like, they've got studios all over the place. And so I reached out to them and basically said, I don't understand what I'm doing. Like, this seems like and it's not week one release.
Yeah.
Why isn't this working for me? What am I doing wrong? I'm assuming it's me, because it definitely isn't the hardware. And there was a guy called Ruben who had basically been emailing every other day for the last couple of weeks or so, and he has troubleshooted the ever-loving shit out of this for me. And he only bloody pulled it off as well. Like, I've been playing Midnight Suns, and it has not crashed since. Like, fair play to them. Customer service for 2K. And I'm not talking like some. I've done it before with.
It always could play.
No, I think it was like an EA game or something like that. It was just like,
Oh God, what was it? Because we talked about it on the we did talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was, but it was just a nightmare to kind of get them to communicate and then try and help. But yeah, 2K have just been. Like, basically, as soon as I've sent a response, then they just said, cool, just get me all these, like, system dialogue boxes and, like, gather all this data for us and send it all over. And they go, yeah, cool, I think it could be this, it might be this, try tweaking this, change this. Like, they've absolutely crushed it. Like, I'm genuinely so impressed. And then when we got to the end of it, and it seems to have kind of worked, and they went, and here's, like, 600 credits for, like, the in-game store to, like, buy skins or whatever. But the annoying thing is, Callum, and I don't know if Ruben did this intentionally or not, but if you go into the store in order to spend those credits, do you know what you see? All the other characters that you can buy costumes
for. Oh, fucking hell.
He wouldn't
have known how far you was.
Well, no, I'm only joking. But I did go in there and I saw one. I was like, oh, okay. Well, I haven't even seen that person yet. So I don't want to. I'm just going to click off that. And once I've completed the game, then I'll use those credits and I'll go back and buy some cool costumes. But yeah, I genuinely can't praise them enough. That is how you help someone and you troubleshoot, and you don't just go, fucking hell, I don't know. If it doesn't work now, it's not going to work.
That's the thing, it's been out for a couple of years now. And the
fact that they're supporting to this level is kind of crazy.
Because what you should have just is gone, I don't know what to tell you, mate.
Google it. Yeah. Look on Reddit, probably. There'll be some forum, someone who's got a hotfix or something like that. They've made a patch themselves. Use that, and that'll sort you out.
What we might do, though, is should we do like a little... We haven't done a one-shot for a while, like, which is kind of like a little tutorial series that started a bit ago. Why don't we do a little one about what worked for you? Because there's still, if like on Reddit, there's still people that are having problems.
Yeah.
So
No.
No? Okay.
I can't be arsed, quite frankly.
Dan got what he wanted.
Bless him for the amount of work that he put in. But if you think I'm doing that reciprocally, no, absolutely not. I'm going to say go and talk to them directly.
That's what the video would be. Go, if you're having problems with Midnight Suns as well, I've got the tips for you.
Speak to customer service, because they'll absolutely kill it for you. So well done to them. That is how you keep someone on board. Because I was, when I got it, I was just sort of like, oh, I don't know if I'm kind of into this, actually. And the fact that it's crashing every hour. Really wound me up. It wasn't crashing every hour, sorry. It was
after every
whenever
mission.
It was loading from one thing to another. It would just, that would kill it straight away.
This week's episode of the PvP podcast is brought to you by Nomadic and their R150 portable projector. The R150 is a premium looking and feeling projector, but weighs only 720 grams and it comes complete with a carry case, so you can safely put it in your bag and take it with you. Plus, the 4,800 milliamp battery will ensure you can use it on the go. It includes custom speakers made by industry veterans Harman Kardon, and it has its own built-in app store with media apps like Netflix and Disney+. You can also stream your iOS or Android device straight to it, letting you watch content up to 100 inches. All this, plus, if you use the PvP link between March 18th and 31st, you can get 50% off. Check out our full review at podcastversusplayer.com, and don't forget to use the PvP link to get 50% off this fantastic portable projector. Anyway, that's a nice big shout out. But I think we're going to leave it there, mate, because
sure.
we've rambled on for long enough. If you forgot, Dan, this week's episode is brought to you by Nomadic and the R150 portable projector. We have a full review. It's on the website, it's on the YouTube, it's on everything. And between March 18th and 31st, if you use the special PvP promo link, you can get 50% off.
50? 50?
And that is...
My ears deceive me.
That's from March 18th to the 31st. So what well, we are now, 20th. So yeah. you still got a week or so left.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, I'd actively suggest that you advertise this everywhere, please, Callum. And where would that be?
That would be on podcastversusplayer.com. It's going along the bottom of the screen, but there's a big old fancy banner on there. Big 50% thing. Click that. There's also a new banner that's gone up for a product that I haven't reviewed yet, but you can still get the deal. And if you want to buy some Hyperion Joy-Cons from Nixie...
They look real good.
Not even just the Hyperions. This one is in any situation, but you can use promo code PVP and get 10% off.
They actually look like... I do want to come down to you, and I want to try yours first.
Mm.
But if they are good, it is always quite handy to have a backup for Switch controllers, because I know they're not exactly the most reliable thing in the world. But if these are good third parties, mate, I'll fucking buy some. 10% off as well. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
bargain at half the price. Indeed. Speaking of half the price, go and buy the R150 projector for half the price.
Yeah.
Links in the description.
50% is kind of fucking mad, that. Great little deal.
But yeah, if you got nothing else, we're going to run. I'm going to scarf
it. I'm done.